You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. If you like tennis betting, William Hill offers the best in-play action you'll find. You can bet on the outrights, sets, games and point by point. To guide you, there are stats, a court map, live action on William Hill TV and dedicated experts looking for the best bets on the ATP and WTA tournaments on in-play radio. Plus, there'll be extended radio coverage of the Grand Slams. To get involved, tweet the studio at Will Hill In Play or email inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the Tennis Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined by Sky Sports commentator Nick Lester on the line to look ahead to the quarterfinals of the 2015 US Open. Nick, I'm slightly bleary-eyed this morning. Stayed up late to watch Kevin Anderson versus Andy Murray. I wasn't crying, by the way, I just just a little bit tired, but Murray eliminated from the US Open in four sets by an inspired Kevin Anderson last night.
Yeah, and it's the curse of the Louis Armstrong Stadium, isn't it, for Murray again? He's been pretty honest about the fact he doesn't like playing on that court. It's quicker than the others, certainly he feels. There's less room to defend for him. And it happened again. You've got to say Kevin Anderson has made some massive strides this year. He really has. He came here fresh off winning the event in Winston-Salem, took a wild card there, late wild card to try and get some matches, ended up winning the tournament. And as I just said to you a moment or two ago off mic, you've got to remember that at Wimbledon, he was the only guy, Dave, to get two sets off Djokovic. And it's easily forgotten how much of a winning position he was in that day. And, he can trouble the best defenders in the game with the way he plays. We can take the racket out of your hand. And, on a quick court, it's been very quick at the US Open this year because the heat has played its part as well. You've got to say that Anderson deserved to win that match. And I said to you a moment or two ago as well, he's a thoroughly decent guy, Kevin. Works his socks off. He's an absolute perfectionist. And I'm pleased for him in a way.
Was there anything that Murray could have done to combat Anderson, given the mood Anderson was in?
I think when you've got a guy serving that well, Dave, he takes the racket out of your hands. I was just looking at the stats of the tournament so far. Anderson has served more aces than anyone in this tournament. He's served 94 aces through his first four matches. Now, you've got obviously Isner in there, who's played four, Raonic, those sorts of guys, and Cilic, big servers. And Anderson has been way ahead in that department. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. I'm sure Murray will be bitterly disappointed because it's another season, another four majors down where he's played great but has not bagged one. I'm not really sure there was, to be honest. I think, it's a tip of the hat to Kevin. I think he's got a great shot at making the semis.
Yeah, and Murray still needs to work on maybe second serve. Will he look to do that in the off-season?
Yeah, but again, I think that's improved this year. I really do. I think he has improved that element of his game. It's a risk and reward, isn't it, when you play Murray? Because you know you have to take your chances. You know you can't really rally with him from the back of the court. So it does make the game plan fairly simple. And Anderson was able to execute that well yesterday. It was so different from their matchup at Queens, in June, July, because Murray really dominated him from the back of the court. Then Anderson was coming in a little bit more and Murray was enjoying the matchup. And I think that's why coming into this match, a lot of people sort of felt, well, it's not a good matchup for Anderson particularly. Yeah. But I think, he has really pushed himself in the summer and has got a lot of confidence. And as we know, that's such a valuable asset to have.
Let's get stuck into the quarterfinals then, Nick. We'll start on the men's side. Joe Wilfred Tsonga taking on Marin Cilic. This one is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. This evening. Joe Wilfred Tsonga 4-6. Marin Cilic in the market at 6-5. These two have met seven times on tour, and Cilic has won on four occasions. Cilic actually won the last three meetings between the two. And given Cilic's form coming into this event, he'll be happy with his progress, the defending champion.
I think he'll be over the moon. Yeah. I really do. A huge pressure on him, wasn't there? We talked about it in the preview show going into this one, Dave, with the 2,000 points coming off if he were to lose early. benefited from a slightly not easier draw. That's unfair because you've still got to beat the players. But you, you know, there have been players in his way that you certainly, you know, you think of Dimitrov, who lost to Kukushkin in the second round. Should have just then played Kukushkin. You then think of Ferrer, who could have played in the next round. He was beaten by Shardy. So the route of the draw has rather opened up somewhat for him. You know, the head-to-head is interesting because Cilic has won the last three, as you mentioned. I think you can probably, to be fair, write off the last meeting in Monte Carlo because both guys were coming back there and Tsonga didn't look right and Cilic won that fairly handily. Specifically on a hard court in America, Cilic won the last one of those, which is in Miami. And again, you know, both guys have been serving big. You know, Tsonga hasn't lost serve at this tournament. He's only faced Tsonga two break points in the entire tournament, and that came against Tarkovsky, I think, in his third round match. So he's obviously, you know, in good form. I think he looks fit, Tsonga, which is obviously a huge issue for him always. If he's healthy and strong, he moves great around the court, and the serve and the forehand are able to dominate. Tough one to call this one, I must say. Mm. I think it's probably easy in this matchup to look at Tsonga and go, well, yeah, he may just have a few more weapons than Cilic. But Cilic has got a good thing going on at the US Open right now. He really has. You know, I've never seen Marin as well look quite as fired up as he has done this last 10 days or so. You know, he really has shown some really positive body language. It almost feels as though I feel with Cilic that he kind of feels he has a point to prove at this year's US Open. So many people were saying it was a one-off last year. And I really think he's come out at the US Open this year and said, no, you know, I'm going to show you guys that I was good enough to win this event last year. And it's almost proven like a challenge, it feels like to me. And it's been good to see because Marin over the years has been very, not soft, but at times has perhaps not always been up for the fight. And I think under Goran, that's definitely changed. And I actually quite fancy him in this one. I really do. I think there's a bit of value in Cilic here. Mm. You know, having won the previous three does tell you a fair bit about how he enjoys the matchup. Obviously, it's going to be about who can dictate points. I think Cilic probably defends a little bit better than Tsonga does. And I think Tsonga's not going to be able to get quite so many free points. So playing on Arthur Ashe, obviously, again, which I think is another plus for Cilic. He's obviously very used to playing there now, very at home there. I just fancy Cilic in this one. I think there might be a bit of value in the Croatian.
6-5, Marin Cilic to win the match. Could be a tight one as well. Look at the over 42.5 games, which is 5-6. And for this to go five sets, that's in the market at 5-2. Let's move on. Novak Djokovic versus Feliciano Lopez at 1:30 a.m. UK time, this one. Novak Djokovic 1-33. To win the match, and Feliciano Lopez in the betting at 11-1, a matchup that over the years Novak Djokovic has dominated. He's won all five of their meetings. Feliciano Lopez overcame Fabio Fognini in the previous round, Fognini having beaten Rafael Nadal prior to that. I expected it, in all honesty, given that Fabio Fognini is such a volatile character, it was always going to be difficult for him to back up that performance against Nadal.
Well, I mean, it was a remarkable stat flying around the other day, Dave, I saw. I think it's something like the last 35 times a player has beaten Nadal at an event, they've lost the next round. I think it was something like 31 of those Wow. 35 times. So it just goes to prove how tough it is, and even more so at a major where over five sets, you know, you've got to be able to do it week at time, you know, be able to back it up. And of course, if there's one player perhaps that hasn't always been dialed in and focus mentally, it's been Fognini, as we know, over the years. But you've got to hand it to him. You know, it was a great win. He hadn't won a match on hard courts, Dave, Fognini, since October coming into this event. So, I mean, for him to win three matches like that in a row was a great effort. Love the way Lopez is playing. Again, a guy who's really benefited from the quick conditions this week. I think, Dave, you know, he's been coming in a lot. The first volley has been phenomenal. I mean, I commentated the match against Fognini, and the way he was picking up low volleys, first volleys, putting them into tough spots was outstanding. And, you know, it gave Fognini no rhythm at all. And if there's one thing Fognini did have against Nadal, it was a rhythm. And against Lopez, it was an entirely different matchup. He was keeping the points short, serving huge. And Fognini just got flustered, really. So Lopez has had a great year. Last year was great as well for him. You know, he nearly reached top 10 in the world. He's 34 in September. And yet again, we have this conversation about players being mid-30s and playing their best tennis. And Lopez is a prime example of that. I must say, when I've watched Djokovic this week, I've probably commentated two of his four matches so far. He's looked absolutely imperious, I must say. I mean, against Seppi and against Heidemauer, I did both those matches. He looked great. The first set against Bautista or Gut was at a phenomenally high level. And as often is the case when you face Djokovic, you know, no one really gave Bautista or Gut a shot. But for a good hour, he really lived with Djokovic. You know, he was hitting the forehand big. He was taking risks, which you have to do. But he just can't sustain it. And I've got to say, I just think this is a great matchup for Djokovic. You know, you're talking about the best returner in the business here. And Lopez, is he going to be put off serve and volleying? He may well be. If that's the case, he's not going to win from the back of the court, and I'm afraid to say, unless Djokovic has a really poor day at the office. And again, you know, for a fifth consecutive match here, Djokovic is facing a guy who's never beaten him. So, I mean, talk about not a bad draw for the world number one. He certainly made the most of it. I've got to say, I fancy Djokovic here. There is a possibility from a betting point of view that if Lopez can serve great, he could well take a set. And I think, you know, you might be looking at some value there because he's playing well. Again, the downside for me in that market is that Arthur Ashe is such a big stadium. There's so much space around the court. It always favors the defender. So I just think that's going to where Lopez is going to struggle. And I do think Djokovic is going to win without dropping a set here.
Novak Djokovic to win 3 sets to love is 3-10. It has been a throwback, hasn't it? It's almost been like watching Pat Rafter out on court, watching Feliciano Lopez this week. And it's good to see him competing, playing that style of tennis as well, because we're so used to what's commonly known as the ground and pound. It's nice to see someone mixing it up.
Oh, 100% right. And, you know, he's, as I say, he's 34 in September, and he enjoys playing on quick courts, played well in Shanghai last year, made the semifinals of the Masters 1000 down there on the quickest courts of the year. Got married about 6 weeks ago, and as Andy Murray says, marriage seems to work on the ATP World Tour, and it's certainly helping Lopez. You know, and again, he's got an unusual game, as you say, because he does like to come in. But I just think against Djokovic, you know, he's going to pose him so many tough questions off the return. He really is. He's going to have to continually be hitting low volleys, pick-up volleys, tough volleys. And, you know, if he can do it for a set, it's possible. But for me, I just think the head-to-head reads well for Djokovic. And I think he's going to have too much.
Next up, Richard Gasquet versus Roger Federer in the quarters. Gasquet is 5-1, Federer 1-8. Roger Federer's looked good this week as well. Came through against John Isner without dropping a set. But Richard Gasquet, back from a set down against Thomas Berdych in the previous round, winning in 4 sets in the end. I'm looking forward to this matchup. Federer's obviously playing some great tennis at the moment and has a significant head-to-head advantage against Richard Gasquet in the past. But I like what Gasquet is doing this season.
I saw the match against Tomic and I thought he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. I mean, some of the shots, we know he's such a flairy player. He's got such great use of the court, Gasquet. He loves to use the width of the court, the shape he has on the ball. He hits with a lot of spin, certainly off the backhand side. He can open the court up, Dave, which is so useful against players who play from the baseline like a Tomic, because he's able to get them moving. And if there's one, perhaps, aspect of Tomic's game that's not quite so good, it's his movement. So he was able to open up the spaces there. And a similar story against Berdych, who, just as we know, you know, I think we'll probably sadly be saying the same thing about Berdych until he retires. He's just still a little bit wooden, Dave. He's just a little predictable and a little bit wooden. And that's, for me, why I just can't see him winning a major. I can't see him get over the line. And it's a shame for Thomas, because I know for a fact that he's works as hard as anyone else out there. He's trying all he can, but just didn't have enough last night. And, you know, I think Gasquet, I think we've talked about this a little bit before. I think he's a guy who, probably at his stage of his career now, 28, 29, hitting 30 close plus, he's looking at his career and saying, well, you know, there's got to be a turning point here where I know I've only probably got two or three more years at the top, and I've got to try and make the most of it. And he's had a couple of injuries, and I always think that kind of refreshes the mind when you've been out of the game for a little while, you've had injuries, you miss it a bit, and it gives you a period of reflection. We saw it with Cilic last year here, winning the US Open, same thing, he came off a ban. He'd had time away from the game, and I think it's the same with Gasquet. Big difference for me in this matchup here is time. Federer is not going to give Gasquet time on the ball, and Gasquet is going to have to come out of his comfort zone, Dave. And if there's one thing that Richard's not always done well at, it's been coming out of his comfort zone. He's not been a guy to play the best guys in the world and find another gear. That's not been Gasquet's, you know, modus operandi, if you like, over the years. So Federer has just looked phenomenal. You know, I heard Peter Fleming talking yesterday about this, and you know, not the first person says he is playing for me the best tennis of his life. I think there's no doubt about it. You know, absolutely no doubt about it. He's a better model than he was 5 or 6 years ago when he was dominating the game. He's coming in now so much more. And of course, this new shot that everyone's been making a lot of, this return that he's taking from just behind the service line, it's phenomenal. This new shot that Edberg's tried to introduce to his game. It's this kind of it's been great to see, and I just don't think Gasquet's going to have the time on the ball here. I really don't, despite how well he's played. The head-to-head tells you a lot. He's only beaten him twice over the years, and Federer's dictated play. So for me, I think Federer's done nothing wrong again last night. Also, you know, you've got to look at Federer and say, well, has he been under pressure at this tournament? Well, not really, but when he has, he stepped up. Last night, he was down 5-3 in the breaker against Isner in the second set and produced a most phenomenal return. And as he said himself, he's so confident at the moment, Federer, that he's feeling like he can just go in free flow. And I think that's so dangerous. And I just don't think Gasquet's going to have enough in his game to force Federer back behind the baseline too often to make it difficult. So I think for me, Federer, 3 sets to love here.
Yeah, he's hammered him, hasn't he, as well? In the last 6 meetings, Gasquet's barely had a look, really. Federer to win the match 3-0, 8-11 here with William Hill. You mentioned how Thomas Burdick has tried to get the most out of his game, but still looks a bit wooden. We know that Richard Gasquet is charismatic. Has he had Thomas Burdick's work ethic throughout the years or not?
I don't think he's had Thomas Burdick's heart over the years, right, to be honest. I don't think he's always been up for the battle, Gasquet. I really don't. I just don't think he's fancied the battle at times. He's just been too timid, Dave. I mean, I go back to the Davis Cup final last year. I was there in France, Switzerland. And the French capitulated. And it says, you know, that's been the way of them. And I'm afraid to say you can pin the same thing on Songa. I think Monfils, you know, of all the French players, Monfils is probably the best competitor. But sadly, his mind at times completely wanders. They've just not always had the heart, the French players. And it's a simple fact of the matter that they have the style. But they haven't, when it's really come down to being tough, when they've needed to be tough, they just haven't been that way. And Gasquet's been the same over the years. And, you know, I just don't, you know, we all know, you know, the first thing everyone talks about is Gasquet's back end, which is great, but ultimately it comes down to how many titles you've got on your CV, and he doesn't have enough.
And we finish with Stan Wawrinka versus Kevin Anderson. This is the quarterfinal I'm looking forward to most, I think, Nick. Stan Wawrinka 8-11 to win it. Kevin Anderson in the market at 11-10. The last 5 meetings between the two have produced 7 breakers, which shows you how tight this one potentially could be. Kevin Anderson, of course, as we referenced at the top of the podcast, coming through against Andy Murray in 4 sets. Stan Wawrinka had a wobble against Donald Young, but came through that one in 4. Looking forward to this matchup immensely, Nick.
Me too. And I think it's a great matchup for Anderson. I really do. I think it's a really good matchup for him. I think he'll rush him. I think he'll take his time away. There's one thing you've got to do with Stan is you've got to take time away from him. You cannot let him set up on the ball. If you give him time on the ball, it won't be in your hands. Simple as that. I think it's a really good matchup for Kevin. He's won the last 4. Obviously, on grass at Queens, you mentioned they've been tight. Wawrinka's only been able to break him twice in their last 3 meetings, and that's a total of 7 sets in all. So in the 7 sets they've played, the last 7, Wawrinka's only been able to break Anderson twice. My only concern with this matchup is, one, Anderson's not played, I think I'm right in saying, on Arthur Ashe before in his career, so he's going to have to adjust to the conditions there, and they are different. And 2, physically, how's he going to come out after that 4.25-hour marathon? And this is all new ground for Anderson, don't forget. Never been to the quarterfinal of a major 4. But I think if you're backing him on his tennis alone here, for me, I think there's some really good value in Anderson here. And I think if I'm betting this match, I might be looking perhaps at Stan to take the opening set based on the fact that he likes the conditions and has played on Ash before, and then for Anderson to come at him and accelerate forwards. Because, you know, I talked about how well Anderson's serving here. You know, Wawrinka is not going to enjoy that particularly. He's not going to have time on the ball. Anderson's going to rush him. I've never seen Anderson hit so aggressively from the baseline as I did yesterday against Murray. And I think, you know, I really do think they'll go in, the Anderson camp will go in very confident that they can make something happen here. I think we might see him use the kick serve quite a bit as well. We didn't see it quite so much against Murray yesterday, but look for the kick serve out wide because that'll get up high to Stan's back end, which is also awkward. He'll hope it's a warm day, definitely, and I think he'll hope they're playing in the day session tomorrow. I'm pretty sure they will be playing in the day session. So I think, you know, there's really good value in Anderson here, as long as he is able to cope with the occasion and adjust to the conditions.
Anderson to win it at 11-10. Are you looking at 4 or 5 then?
I'm looking at 4 here. Yeah. I think I'd be surprised if Stan didn't light it up for a set at least. But I think the head-to-head is very significant in this one, and I think it's very quick conditions. If Anderson is going to win this match, it's ideal conditions for him, I think, in New York right now.
9-2 for Kevin Anderson to win it by 3-1. Let's move on to the women's side of things, and we start with Kristina Mladenovic versus Roberta Vinci. 8-13, Mladenovic. Vinci, 13-10. If you'd said to me at the start of the event one of these two women was going to be in the semi-final of the US Open, I'd have thought you were mad, Nick. And Vinci's had a charmed run, hasn't she, this fortnight so far?
Well, she has. And to be honest, the draw opened up because of Maria Sharapova, really, Dave. That's where it was blown wide open. She pulled out. You then had the likes of Bouchard, Ivanovic, these sort of two or three players that lost early. So it was always going to provide an opportunity. But, you know, let's be honest, you've got to take your opportunity. And I'm pleased for Kristina Mladenovic because she's had a tortuous run, really, over the years. She won the Junior French Open 2009. She won the Junior French Open. And, you know, when that happens in France, obviously there's high expectations over there, like there are in most parts of the world. But especially, I think, in France, where it's a real tennis-playing nation. I remember seeing her in tears many times over the years on court where she's just lost matches, the pressure's got to her. She's got a very demanding mum. Her mum and dad were both athletes. Her mum travels with her full-time. And in fact, only a month ago, I was in Washington watching a situation play out where it was nasty. Mum was right on her case. And it's tough. It's a tough one to kind of, you know, watch sometimes. So I'm pleased for her in a way. She's battled hard. And she's come through some big matches. You know, she's beaten Makarova in the previous round. Makarova's got a great record at the majors. She's coming in a fair bit. Mladenovic plays a lot of doubles as well, so she's quite happy coming forwards. And, you know, I was just looking at the head-to-head here. Obviously, they haven't really played before. And I think if you look at this matchup, it's probably easy to say, well, Vinci hasn't beaten anyone so far. You know, she hasn't, to be fair. She's played 3 matches against players who she should have beaten fairly handily. She's dropped a set along the way. But I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. It's a different matchup from Mladenovic's point of view because Vinci's a player who likes to come in. She'll use the slice a fair bit. So Mladenovic will not have things all on her own terms out here. And that's why I just think Vinci might just be worth a bit of value here because she's fresh. You know, she comes in here with a lot more experience at this stage as well. And that plays its part, especially when you get to 32, 33. Mladenovic is only 22 years of age. So that's why I just quite fancy Vinci here. I think she, you know, she's been around a long time, Roberta. She's played very well this tournament as well, quarterfinals before as well here. And I just think she might, you know, I think experience might play its part. So that's why I just think Vinci's fresh. She'll know what to expect. And I think the experience will play a big hand.
Roberta Vinci, are we going 2 or 3 here then, Nick?
Tough to say. I mean, it's tough to say. I wouldn't surprise me if it was 3. I think it well could be close. They're both very similar in the way they play the game. I'd probably just maybe sneak with Vinci in 3.
15-4, Roberta Vinci to win in 3 sets. Serena Williams versus Venus Williams, the tie that many people are looking forward to in this side of the draw. Serena is 1-8, Venus 5-1. We talked about this matchup before on numerous podcasts, Nick, and it's one that Venus Williams has had success in the past, but the big game Serena Williams tends to dominate, and it's a tough matchup for both ladies to really get entirely motivated for.
Completely agree. It's a horrible matchup, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. Who wants to face a sibling, you know, across the net in any kind of format? And when there's so much on the line here, listen, there's a lot we can discuss here. I think when you go through the head-to-heads, there is one match that stands out for me here, and that is the 2003 Australian Open final. And Serena played Venus It was the year that Serena needed to win that match to complete the Serena Slam. She did, and she won it in three sets. And I think that is probably the closest parallel in the previous head-to-head you can draw between, over the years, the matches they've played. And what was interesting about that match back in 2003 is that it was probably the only match, I think, in all the ones they've played over the years, where there was a bit of niggle, there was a bit of animosity. And because there was so much on the line that day, it got, I didn't get nasty, that's the wrong word, but there was definitely a little bit of, there was competitiveness between the two. And I think we could see a similar thing tonight, Dave. I really do. Serena was absolutely outstanding against Madison Keys in the previous match. Keys played great. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong. And I tell you what, from a future betting perspective, Madison Keys, I will be shocked if she doesn't win a major and is a top five player. She'll be a top five player sooner rather than later. She has made so many improvements, but that's going slightly off topic. But she played great against Serena and only got six games. Serena has got better and better again through this tournament. Again, I feel like we repeat ourselves, but going through that first week, you know, she struggled against Bethany Mattek-Sands, again, who came in, asked her some questions. And I just think simply from a tennis perspective, Serena's just in a different league at the moment to Venus. It doesn't matter what you say. Venus has played well. She beat Bencic in a couple of rounds ago. The serve's been working nicely. She's been able to get a lot of free points. But I don't think she's going to stop Serena tonight. I really don't. I think Serena, you know, it's incredible. Serena's not just on for the slam, but, you know, she won the US Open here last year as well. So she's on to win five majors in a row. I mean, it's just staggering the numbers she's putting together. The one aspect of her game that's not been good this year, quite too good, is the serve. The ball toss has been going a little bit awry, which we haven't seen for many years, really. There was a great statistic I saw put up yesterday about the inches the ball toss is differing. She's just wavering a little bit on that. And as we know, her serve, as we talk about time and time again, has changed the game in many ways from the women's point of view because it's so good. But I think tonight it's going to be under the lights. I think she'll have too much for Venus, who is past her best. I don't care what anyone says. I'm actually a little surprised she's made it through to the quarters.
I am as well.
Yeah, I mean, especially having seen her in the second round. She was ropey in the second round. I thought she was done. But then beat Bencic. But again, I do think the quick conditions do help, Dave. I think it's been speedy in New York this year, and I think that's helped her. But I don't think she'll beat Serena tonight. I really don't. I thought Serena's last match against Keys was really eye-catching, and I think she's got the bit between her teeth. She's talking a lot about how she's not thinking about the Grand Slam, and whether you believe her or not, I don't know. I think it's tough probably to believe her when she says that, but she's in a good place. There's no doubt about it. And I do think, you know, no matter what you say about Muratoglu, her coach, I do think he really has had a positive impact on her in keeping her feet on the ground. She's a much more mellow and friendly character than she was 5 or 6 years ago. She's definitely chilled out, and I think that's helped her as well.
Two sets? Straight sets?
Yeah, I think so. I just think if she plays anywhere near her best, Dave, she's going to win this fairly comfortably.
Serena Williams, two sets to love, is 4-9. Tomorrow we have Victoria Azarenka versus Simona Halep. Azarenka 4-9, Halep 7-4. Halep struggling a little bit in terms of fitness, Nick. Had the trainer out against Sabine Leshicki, came through in three sets in what was a tight match. And Azarenka, she's hammered her in their two meetings back in 2012 on hard courts. And she's a short price here, Azarenka. 4-9 she is. Halep is 7-4.
Yeah, I commentated yesterday on Halep against Leshicki, and it was quite a torturous affair, I must say. Neither player played well. Halep was really struggling physically. She looked to be done, really. The trainer came out twice. The back was a problem. The leg was a problem. I think she was very tight, to be honest, facing Leshicki as well, who she knows can take the racket out of her hands. And Leshicki, I mean, sometimes when you watch her, you just kind of scratch your head and wonder what's going on upstairs because, I mean, she should have won the match, really. She had the match on her racket. She was up a set and a break. And she continues to be a very frustrating player to watch. I was a little surprised, actually, how tight Halep came out yesterday. I thought, you know, she's tried to make some adjustments to her serve this year. She did look as though the rhythm was struggling. And it's you've got to say that if yesterday Azarenka had been on the court against Halep, no chance Halep would still be in this tournament. Absolutely no chance. Should have been gone. And that's why I would suggest the market prices are as they are. do think 4-9 is a little bit stingy, I have to say, given the fact that Halep's, you know, won more matches on a hard court this year than anyone else. But I've got to say, Azarenka, for me, does start a warm favourite. I mean, you know, how quickly is Halep going to be able to recover from that? She didn't look good yesterday. She was really, you know, she was injured. That's what she was. She was injured. The leg was a problem. And, you know, so much of her game is revolved around her movement, Dave. And as we know, if her movement is compromised in any way, then she's got trouble. In saying that, Azarenka came out like a mummy woman yesterday. She had two big bandages on her arm. So I think Azarenka's probably going to win this one. I think, you know, she is well overdue a deep run of the major. She's been a bit unlucky with her draws. She's taken her time to kind of really rise up the rankings. But I think the head-to-head is probably not that significant, purely on the basis that Halep's an entirely different player than she was 3 or 4 years ago. You know, you're talking about a player who's grown so much. I just think the physical issues could come in here, and I think Azarenka is going to dominate proceedings. She's going to cause Halep all sorts of trouble. If Halep's not serving well, and she wasn't serving well yesterday, a second serve can be a real milk float, and the best players will get on top of that. And I think Azarenka will do that, and I think she could well beat Halep in two here.
Azarenka to win two sets to love is 11-10, and we finish with Petra Kvitova versus Flavia Panetta. Kvitova 1-3, Panetta 12-5. Kvitova, of course, beating the Brit Johanna Konta in the previous round last night. In fact, Nick, and Konta played very well, particularly in the first set in that game. Just that one shaky moment towards the end of the set, and Kvitova jumped on it.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, I've not spoken to a single person within British tennis, and I know a lot of people over here who can believe the way Jo Konta's played this week. I mean, her rise this last 3 months has come out of the blue. That's unfair. But it's been drastic. It really has. Her improvements have been drastic. And whether or not you put that down to the sports psychologist and the new training base she has, I guess you probably do. And you have to give her a fair bit of credit for her attitude. And she's done great. I mean, she's come through some tight moments. And you know, obviously winning those two events coming into the US Open were a huge confidence boost, and full credit to her. From Kvitova's point of view, I think she comes here with the pressure off. I really do. And I think that's helped her massively. No one's really talking about her coming into this tournament. Won in New Haven, never done well in New York, so she wasn't even part of the conversation. She's got mononucleosis as well. I mean, she's suffering with glandular fever. She's not even been able to practice that much. And actually, she said something significant yesterday. She said that actually not practicing has actually helped me, because I'm not a person that needs to hit a whole lot of balls, but because I'm so kind of hyper and driven, I want to. But actually, by practicing less, she feels fresher on the match court. And I have to say, physically, I think she looks in impeccable shape. She's moving so well. I was doing one of her matches a couple of days ago, and some of the balls she was picking up were you know, really breathtaking. So she's covering the court well. Serve has been brilliant. Again, looking through the event stats of the tournament so far, more aces, I think, than pretty much most players this year. I think she's only lost serve once, and that was in the opening round. So players are really struggling to open up break points against her. Mm. From Panetta's point of view, and remarkable how consistent she's been here for the last 6 years in the quarterfinals. Does she have the firepower to live with Kvitova, though? I don't think so. So I think Petra's on for the semis here. I think it could be a good run for her. She's looked good, looks strong, and she looks relaxed as well. And we know with Petra that so often, if she loses, to be honest, very often it's her beating herself. But she looks to be in a good place, I think, mentally. And I think that's going to stand her in good stead, and I think she'll beat Panetta in two.
Petra Kvitova to win in two sets is 5-6 here with William Hill. Quick overview then of the tournament as a whole, Nick, on both sides. Djokovic 8-11 favourite, and Serena Williams 1-2. Do you expect those two to win the respective championships?
I really do. I don't wish to be boring, but I really do. Yeah. And I have to say, my pre-tournament pick of Kei Nishikori was not a good one. But, you know, in Novak is just, you know, the changes he's made this year is, you know, I listened to Boris Becker, his coach, talk the other day, and it was fascinating to hear him talk. You know, he's moved into Manhattan this year. He's changed it up. He hasn't won since 2011. And as Becker said to Djokovic, that's totally unacceptable. You know, he's not going to accept the fact that he hasn't won here in 3 years. He wants to put that right. And as we know, I think it'll be a Federer-Djokovic final. And I think Djokovic, again, will be a similar matchup to the one at the US Open. From Serena's point of view, obviously the semi-final, if she can get through Venus, looks to be a good one, either Milenkovic or Vinci. What will be fascinating, I have to say, is if it's Kvitova in the final. Because yeah. Kvitova is one of the few players who can completely dominate anybody, and Serena Williams included. So I think of the two bets right now, I'd be lumping on Djokovic rather than Serena, because I do think with Serena, there's obviously the added pressure of the Grand Slam, but I do think there's a couple of players in the other half who certainly know how to beat her.
If you're looking at that double right now, Serena Williams 1-2, Novak Djokovic 8-11, 1.59-1 is the price on that double. Nick, enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully we'll get the finals we want, and Djokovic-Federer in that final should be an absolute classic. And we'll catch up ahead of the semis.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.